This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Amen. Okay, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Today we're going to have a special session where I'm going to just lay some principle about healing, and then we're going to put into practice. You know, we just came out of a 10-day Esther fast. We call it healing now. Primarily, we are contending for a prophetic promise of God, especially for the end-time church. Healing should be normal in the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's not just restricted to a few holy men or super saints. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that healing is part of the inheritance of us as a believer. It should be normal. You know, if you read Mark 16, the Bible makes it very clear that the Word of God didn't command us to chase after signs and wonders, but signs and wonders shall follow us. Okay, so what I'm going to do is lay a few biblical foundation for healing. Then we're going to activate you to minister healing. Okay, today is not a few person who minister, but everyone is going to minister. You know, I like what John Wimber say. You know, John Wimber, some of you would be too young to know who John Wimber is. John Wimber, actually, most of you all know Bill Johnson. John Wimber actually is the mentor of Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson actually carry on the very mentor of John Wimber. Okay, he's one of the humble men of God. You know, if there's one person that I would say is a true apostle, it'll be John Wimber. He's known for healing, but more importantly, he's a man that walked intimately with the Lord. You know, I love what he say. You know, healing is for everyone. Everybody got to play. So it's about not about a few person. More and more, as we are raising towards the end of the age, the Bible makes very clear that God is going to pour out His Spirit without measure on His church with no mixture, so that we all carry that prophetic anointing, we all carry that healing anointing, we all are the answer, the salt of the earth, light of the world. So that's the reason why we fasted 10 days, you know, we call it Esther fast. It's a contend for the release of a greater measure of healing grace, and then today we're going to activate, and that it doesn't mean that our fast is over, means we kind of like put the healing aside. That means we have to start praying for the sick. We used to stretch out our hand and pray for healing. That's where healing begins. You know, a lot of times people say, oh God, please send healing, please send healing. But we haven't really stretched out our hand to lay hand on the sick. Healing is not going to break off if we are not going to stretch up our hand and pray for the sick. You know, it's as simple as that. Okay, so today is an activation day, so we all get to play. You know, I just give you a very simple step. Okay, but let me lay a few, probably less than an hour, lay a few biblical foundation for healing, and then we're going to pray. We're going to, inverted comma, play. Okay, not really pray. You know, there's a difference between praying for healing and ministering healing. Okay, I'll explain to you. So I'm going to lay a few biblical foundation for healing. You know, firstly is why Esther fast. You know, we went into 10 days of Esther fast, and then second is I want to talk about biblical reason for healing. Okay, people say, oh, signs and wonders is gone. No, there's a reason why God still want to do signs and wonders. You know, I have many stories to tell you about signs and wonders, but this personally I have encountered, or when I travel around, I witness. You know, a lot of time, you know, there's no commotion, there's no need of drama. I remember last year when I was ministering to this place, you know, someone was asking about, you know, healing and so on. You know, I didn't even plan to teach about healing. I said healing is very simple. Just turn me to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Run through what Bible talk about healing. Then I say, whoever need healing, please stand up. They all thought that I'm going to pray for them. I said, no. Everybody around, those people will stand up, just stretch forth your hand and lay hands and minister healing. Healing is going to break forth. So there was one lady have a growth on her neck. You know, literally, the growth shrunk right before their eyes. Okay, there's no drama, no commotion. I thank God I wasn't the one who lay hands and pray for the person, you know, so that you cannot say, no, I'm not saying that I'm the holy man or so on. And another person in the midst was blind. And she received sight. She could see. Okay, there's no drama, no music, no nothing. Okay, so I lay out some biblical foundation. You see, a lot of time we thought that healing is about anointing. Healing is not about anointing. Healing simply is about the name of Jesus and about the nature of God. Healing ministry is a compassion ministry. Okay, I explained to you. Many people ask me, am I excited? No, healing going to break off and so on. Excitement is not exactly the word to describe. But I'm contending for healing is because I see so many people who are sick and we don't have an answer. And my heart broke, you know, because 2 weeks ago I was away, not in Singapore, you know, ministering. Two person text me, you know, it's kind of like God is putting something on my heart. Two person text me, telling me that they have stage 4 cancer. They asked me, can I pray for them? And one person said, God told me you have answer. I kind of like, I have no answer at all. But my heart broke, you know, that kind of like give me a greater energy and greater motivation to contend for healing because many people need a touch from the Lord because they have no answer. Hospital has no answer. Doctor has no answer. Many people need a touch, whether it's believer or unbeliever. That's why to say that our ministry, not just this ministry, I'm talking about the body of Christ, does not need healing ministry, that's totally unbiblical. Even Jesus need healing ministry, needs signs and wonders to authenticate that he's a son of God. Who are we to say that we do not need signs and wonders? Signs and wonders is not to get us all excited. Signs and wonders is to point people to a God of heaven and he has a son. His name is Jesus. So that many people will call upon the name of the Lord. So I don't get excited by signs and wonders. It's out of that compassion and so on that I'm contending for greater grace, whether it's healing, signs and wonders, because many people need a touch from God. And many people need a touch from the Lord so that they know that there's a God of heaven. So how do we know that God is greater if we totally lack power? Now, many places where they have supernatural power. How can we say our God is the greatest where we have no power? That's the key thing, okay? So six things, okay? Why we enter into the Esther fast from May 1st to 10th. Then I'm going to give you a biblical reason for healing. Basis of healing in the Bible. Because all these things give you confidence, right? That is still healing. Why we should all minister healing. It's part of our ministry. Okay, fourth one is causes of sickness. Okay, Bible does talk about causes of sickness. Not every sickness is because of demon or sin. Sometimes it's just irresponsible. If you keep eating French fry, I'm sure you'll get sore throat. Okay, so don't blame Satan. Okay, so it's our irresponsibilities. Okay, or you keep walking under the sun, you know, don't drink water and so on. There are causes for sicknesses. Okay, and fifth one is key of healing ministry, there are keys, okay? Primarily, it's not about anointing. Much of the time when I pray for the sick, I don't feel anointed. Sometimes I fall sick. Sometimes sometimes the people I pray for get well, but I fall sick, you know? So I have this joke, don't pray, you know, there are times I pray for people who have fever, I got fever, okay? So I say, don't pray for the pregnant woman. I might just get pregnant. No, just a joke. Okay. Yeah. So some keys about healing and hindrances to healing. Okay. Give you four hindrances to healing. Okay. First one. Why Esther fast? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Can you give me a fullback a little bit? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. Primarily is to contend for the prophetic promise of God for the end time church. Yes, they are healing all over the world right now. But we are seeing very little here and there. But we are contending it to be a norm. Even in this house, I mean, I'm hearing people who are sick get healed or infirmities, back pain, you know, or whatever. People get healed. But it's far too little. I'm praying that it will be a norm. Because it's our inheritance. His promise, our inheritance. It has to be a norm in the church of Jesus Christ. When I say norm, I'm not saying that it's every day and so on, but why not? We should contend that it become a norm. Blind, their eyes will open and see. Deaf, their ears will open and hear. Lame will walk. Sick will be healed. Dead be raised. Creative miracles. Those who have no eyeball. I mean, I've seen people's ears chop off. They pray. The ear pop back. in a split second, it's kind of scary. Pop! We all nearly fainted, you know. People's limbs got cut off, grew back. Yeah. Not within a split second, but in 2 weeks, you know. And people say, how can this be possible? Why not? It's easy for God to grow back a limb. He created the entire universe. To grow back a limb is easy for God. Amen? Sometimes we don't realize it. Yeah, kind of scary, right? No, like lizard, no, grow back the tail. No. Yeah, no. Thank God. It was 2 weeks, no. If it's it's a split second, I'm sure everybody will be fainted. Even the guy will be fainted, no. Yeah, hand, no. Yeah, better than Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker gotta use the artificial limbs. See, Jesus is greater than Star Wars. It's a bright morning star, okay? Star Wars is fake. It's not even real, okay? Okay, so first one, okay? We are contending for the prophetic promise. No, I'm sharing some of this testimony is to let you know that it's happening right now all around the world. Faith built upon faith. That's the key thing. It's happening all around the world. Healing, miracles, wonders. It's happening. Just like in Singapore, we ain't seeing much. Primarily, we have too many doctors. You know? So my goal, there are a few doctors in our midst. You know? My goal is to pray until you lose your job. You know, yeah. So don't apply for medicine. Those you who are going for medicine, don't. Okay. In another 10 years, you run out of job. Okay. It's true. That's my goal. Let's contend for it. No, I'm not saying, no, nothing wrong. Okay? After today, pray for you, still got a headache. Please go and pour a Panadol. I think we should reverse our mindset. We should pray for our sickness first, for healing, before we pop a Panadol. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, because nothing will break out if we don't start praying. You say, oh God, I want healing, I want healing. You say, God will tell you, please stretch out your hand and pray for the sick. Healing will begin to break forth. Okay, so the first one is we are contending for a prophetic promise of God for the end time church. Okay, turn me to 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. See, there are promises, prophetic promises that we have to contend. It doesn't happen automatically. That's why at the beginning of this year, God is bringing us back to remembrance of many prophetic promises, not just for this house, but for the body of Christ around the world at the end of the age. One of it is this: no disease known to man shall stand before the people of God. Wow. We're going to need it because we are approaching end of the age. The Bible makes it very clear, whether it's Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, there's going to be increase of all kinds of sicknesses. I mean, we are seeing SARS, and it suddenly disappear, suddenly just disappear. You know, bird flu, all kinds of H1N1, H2N3, and so on and so on. Yeah, I know, yeah, it's the thing. Now the greatest worry is the superbug. Superbug is coming. Because of this abuse of antibiotics, you know, it's happening somewhere around the world. Because of the abusive, the using of antibiotics, more and more, there will be no answer. There's only one place they have answer, the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to contend for this prophetic promise. That's why I always say it's going to be the glorious hour of the Church of Jesus Christ. If we contend for all this grace that God promised, this prophetic promise says this, no disease known to man shall stand before the very people of God. Wow, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. We need to contend for it and we must not be passive about it. We want to contend for it, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 said this, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Paul basically is exhorting Timothy because Timothy has many prophetic promises in his life. So Paul is saying, Timothy, don't be passive. Contend for the prophetic promise of your life. Fight a good warfare. Don't be passive. It's the same. There are many prophetic promises God has for the body of Christ around the world, and especially the end time church. One of it is this: no disease known to man shall stand before the very people of God. It's going to be glorious. That's God's promise. And in the light of that, our inheritance. You know, healing is part of the gospel. Part of the good news of the Lord. I know that's why I search through healing. I have no time to run through the Old Testament. Just New Testament. There are at least 60 passages in the New Testament that talks about healing. That's awesome. And then in the gospel, four gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, there are 89 chapters. 33 chapters talks about healing. That's 37% of the entire gospel in the Bible. You know, I can't say that in this ministry we have 37% success rate of healing right now. We do have here and there. That's why we are contending for it. It's our inheritance. It's part of the inheritance of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we are contending that it will be normal. Not once in a while, hope for the best, but it will be normal. Read the book of Acts. I've been reading the book of Acts, and the book of Acts really provoked me. You know, we are totally unlike the book of Acts. People say, oh, this is normal. No, this is not normal. If you can carry, no, how should I say? No, this is just a illustration. Bring people from the book of Acts until this time, they will tell you that this is not normal. This is not normal, church. If you bring us backward back into the book of Acts, the Acts church, we realize that we are totally abnormal. Because signs, wonders, and miracles is normal in the Church of Jesus Christ. So we have to pray that it will become norm, and we have to start moving into it. So that's the first one, why we do the Esther fast. Second, biblical reason for healing. Okay. Biblical reason for healing. There are three of them. Biblical reason for healing. First one is to testify of God. Testify of God. Take me to Mark 16. Mark 16. Signs, wonders, miracles, healing, at the end of the day, primarily is to point to God. Because no one man on the surface of this earth get healed by God still live today. One good example, Lazarus. Lazarus died eventually. Understand what I'm talking about? It's to testify of God. Lazarus died eventually. Why it's called signs? If you check carefully the Greek word, primarily sign is to point to God. That's why it's a sign. It's to point to God. It's not for us to get excited, but of course, one another reason is to edify and to build up one another. One of the main reasons is to testify of God. Take me to Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16. I will primarily quote scripture from the gospel. Yeah, Mark 16. We have many young people here. Great. We're going to get the young people to pray. Mark 16. Say this, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. 17. Listen to 17. This sign will follow those who believe in my name. The Bible didn't say you need to go to theological school. Not that that's wrong. Didn't say they need to go to healing ministry school to learn about healing. But signs shall follow us who believe. That's why you read the subsequent few verses. In the name of Jesus, we will cast out demons. We will speak in new tongues. We lay hand on the sick. They will be healed. Whosoever who believe in the name of Jesus. That primarily, God is using all this sign. Because what is the context? To preach the gospel to all nations. So that people will know that our God is real. Okay, the first one. Testify of God. One more verse. John. I'm going to run through quickly. So that you understand, I'm laying down this foundation before we lay hands, so that you have confidence that this is the heart of God. Okay, John 4. It's all over the gospel. 33 chapters out of 89 chapters. Okay, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Okay, read through the entire passage. verse 46 to 54. I want to highlight two verses. Verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, unless people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. One of it is through signs and wonders to testify of God. Verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed and his whole household. You know, it's true. I know a friend, okay. His name is Ravi. I lost contact with him. He was from India, okay. We were talking. I asked him, how do you reach out? Because he's an evangelist. So he go from village to village to village to lead people to Christ. No, he's not leading one, two person to Christ. He's leading entire village to Christ. Every village he go to, he will lead the entire village to Christ. So I said, how do you do it? So there's no crusade. Not the Rahim Bonke kind. Nothing wrong with Rahim Bonke or so on. He said, what I do is that I pray and God will tell me to go to which village. When I go to the village, I look for the most sick person or the most demonized person. And then I'll heal that person in the name of Jesus or cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Then the whole village will realize and they will turn to Jesus. Primarily is to point to God. That's why we need healing. You know, we are in Western world, we don't need, we have speaker, we have smoke machine, dry eyes, good sound system that costs $50,000. These are good too, but these are insufficient. Signs, wonders, and healing primarily is to testify of God. Second is to glorify God. Verse 29 to 31. I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 31, because I have no time. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed make whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Second reason is to glorify God. To glorify God. There's a third reason. Third reason, compassion. Read carefully. There are 33 passages in the gospel where Jesus healed the sick, cleansed the leper, so on and so on, cast out demon. Compassion. Compassion. That's why I always say healing ministry is not not just primarily a ministry about power. It's about compassion. Compassion. When you see the sick, like two weeks ago, two of my friends text me before we entered the fast, tell me that they are into stage 4 cancer. Can I pray for them? I say, but of course. One of them told me that God told me you have the answer. I kind of like, I don't know, But my heart broke, I'm contending for the Lord God. Please, let healing break out. Because how can we see the sick and our heart does not move? And something is wrong. Something is really wrong. When we see the sick, people who are tormented by terminal disease, and our heart don't move, something is wrong. It's a compassion ministry. Healing is a compassion. I can't remember who asked me just now, are you excited today? I'm not. I'm never excited about whatever. To me, I'm contending for healing is because one primarily is because many people need the touch from the Lord. They really. And our God is a God of compassion. He looked down from heaven. He wants to heal. He wants to heal. That's the thing. So that's the second one. Biblical reason for healing. Third one. Biblical basis for healing. Once for all, I'm going to crush all the theology that signs, healing, spiritual gift doesn't exist. There's no one verse in the Bible that says signs, healing, wonders does not exist. No one verse in the Bible that says God does not speak anymore. When I grow up, people always tell me, God doesn't speak anymore. He writes. That's why I need to read the Bible. No, our God is alive, isn't it? If He's alive, He should be still speaking. He's alive, isn't it? Then He should still heal, isn't it? If Old Testament heals, Gospel heals, Book of Acts He heals, suddenly He lost His power. Or people say, no, we are into a better age. What better age? If we do not have the same kind of power or even greater power, because the Bible makes it very clear. John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, if you have faith, you will do a greater works than me. Wow. Jesus walked on water. Jesus cast out demons. When he was ministering, there are many parts he healed everyone who came, you know. Yeah, I do once in a while pray for people to get healed, you know. It's kind of like do somersault, you know, wait for prayer, yeah, you know. But not all. So how can he be greater? No, God still healed. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, forever the same. He doesn't suddenly decide not to heal. Because we have better technology. Now Singapore and Mount Elizabeth, Raffles Hospital, whatever, and so on. No. No. So two biblical bases for healing. Okay. Very simple. First one. It's the nature of God. It's the nature of God. Just write down. No time to turn to it. Exodus 15, verse 26. You know what's the nature of God? He's a healer. Even though he doesn't have the title doctor. He's a healer. His name, one of his name is what? Jehovah Rapha. Exodus 15 verse 26. I'm the Lord that heal you. He's a healer. He's the healer. His nature is to heal. One of his name is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. He has not changed. Because we are his family, we can do healing too. In the name of Jesus. That's why I say every one of us have PhD. Yes, we have. You know, preach, heal. You can do deliverance. All of us have PhD. In the name of Jesus. I'll give you biblical basis. Okay. Okay. I want to show biblical basis. Then we are going to activate you to pray. Okay. Yeah. Everyone can. Because our God, his nature is to heal. Take me to Psalms 103, verse 3. The one of the work of the cross is he, through the work of the cross, we are healed. More than just forgiveness of sin. Take me to Psalms 103, verse 3. Psalms 103, verse 3. Psalms 103, verse 3. Oh, that's a powerful voice. Psalms 103, verse 3. Okay, maybe I read from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? Just name you two from next verse. Who forgives all our iniquities and heal all your diseases. That's one of the work of the cross. Healing. Healing. Okay. And the next one, the nature of God. One of the mandate of Jesus is to heal. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Okay, tell me, because Isaiah 66 is like my favorite chapter for Book of Isaiah. So, auto, going to Isaiah 66. Tell me to Isaiah 61. One of the mandate of Jesus is to heal. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Which we carry the same mandate to, Church of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. So we carry the same mandate. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me, the Lord means God the Father has appointed me, Jesus, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, so on and so on. One of the mandate of Jesus is to heal. Is to heal. That's one of the bases for healing in the Bible and for the Church of Jesus Christ, because it's the nature of God to heal. He is a healer. His name is a healer, just that he doesn't carry the title Doctor only. It should be Dr. Jesus. Okay, yeah. Dr. Father sounds a bit strange. Okay, yeah. So that's the first one. Second, one is his nature. Two is his heart. His heart. You know why? He's compassionate. And because of that, he is willing. That's why we always pray, whenever we pray, we always say, God, you are willing and you are able. Thank God. I'm willing, but much time I'm not able. But God is both willing and able. He's willing to heal. Because he's full of compassion. His heart moves when he sees the downcast. He sees the broken. That's the nature of God. Turn me to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. He is willing. Jesus is willing to heal. And he will not hold back. You see, a lot of time, I'll give you a few hindrances to healing. A lot of time is because we don't believe. We think that healing exists. Or we lack of faith. Okay, I'll give you four hindrances later. Matthew 8. Yeah, let me read from verse 1. When he had come down from his mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Both willing and able. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Okay, the lepers got it right. Okay, listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing. Jesus is willing. God is willing. How can a God of compassion, when he looked down at the sick, his heart does not move, whether believer or non-believer? He's full of mercy. He's full of compassion. That's why he is willing. He wants to heal. That is our God, okay? Compassion. Mark, turn me to Luke 7. It's all over the gospel. Luke 7. First one is willing. Second is he's compassionate. You know, everything that Jesus did, read carefully, is always about compassion. He saw the 5,000 who were hungry. His heart was moved with compassion. He asked the disciple to feed them. With, always can't figure out, is it 6 loaves of bread and 2 fishes or whatever, you know. Yeah, his heart was moved with compassion. His heart was moved with compassion. That's why he taught. His heart was moved with compassion. He healed. That's the key thing. So the second one is compassion. Luke 7, verse 17. Luke 7, verse 17. I think I got the wrong one. Never mind. Luke 7. Luke 7 verse 13. Luke 7 verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin. It's always about compassion. Okay? Compassion. So biblical basis for healing, I'll just briefly run through. I'll find time to go more greater detail. Okay. Biblical basis for healing. Two bases. The nature of God. He's a healer. The nature of God. Second, the heart of God. He's willing and he's full of compassion. That's the key thing. Okay. And of course, the third one is about justice. Justice. Take me to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. That's why sometimes when we pray for healing for the poor and so on, our heart sometimes moves with righteous anger because it's about justice. We need to understand the principle. Justice is not about, you know, our understanding of justice is go to court, you know, win the case. No, the biblical meaning of justice is God make what is wrong to become right. God make what is wrong to become right. One of it is, it's not right to be sick. God didn't create us to be sick. So it's injustice. And when execute justice, when God do healing, He's putting justice. He's restoring the people who are sick to health. Justice. Okay, turn me to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. Okay, verse 13. Yeah, it's a very famous prophecy about that Messiah that's coming to bring forth justice. But Jesus prophesied that beyond even coming to send forth justice to the Jewish people, but to the Gentiles. That's why the Jews were shocked. They were shocked. But if you read Matthew 12 carefully from verse 15, in this case, it's after he did healing and he bring forth this prophecy. It's a famous Isaiah 42 prophecy. At the tail end of Isaiah 42 prophecy, it talks about that returning of a king. When Jesus come back, he's coming back for many things. One is that he's coming back for a bride, which is a church. Two is coming back to be the king of all nations. Third one is coming back to put justice back to the earth. The greatest justice movement is going to come when Jesus returns. Not the Justice League that I know there's a movie, right? Justice is superhero. No? No, there's a greater hero that is coming back. He's going to bring forth justice. That's why sometimes we pray, we talk about, oh God, we pray about God, bring forth justice to victory in the context of healing. Okay, let's read Matthew 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Wow, I love this. Healed them all. You know, imagine I have this healing grace. You know, I'm going to go to every hospital and heal them all. You know, and all the Parkway Medical all kick me out, you know, because I ruined their business. Yeah, yeah. No, let's contend for that. No disease known to man shall stand before... Yeah, Gareth will be our job too. Yeah, good. Then you join the house of prayer. I let you raise fund. Yeah. No, I let you raise fund. No, then you're joining the biggest MMC in the entire world. It's called the Kingdom of God. INC. INC. Okay. Yeah. Yet he warned them not to make known that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, okay, in the context of healing. Listen to this, verse 18. It's about justice. We need to understand that in our heart, in our spirit. One is about compassion. One is justice. When we minister to the sick, it's about contending for justice, for their life. Justice, okay. Behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. Listen to this one. He will declare justice to the Gentile. Immediately just after he healed. Of course, there are different layers of justice. One of it is healing. I will declare justice to the Gentiles. Go to verse 20. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he send forth justice to victory. It's about justice. Justice. So three biblical bases for healing. Nature of God. Second is heart of God. He's willing and he's full of compassion. Third one is about issue of justice. Justice. Okay, fourth, causes of sickness. Causes of sickness. Okay, I just name you four. Okay, because we need to be biblical and we need to be objective. Not every sickness is because of sin. You know, it's so unfair. You're not doing justice to people who come say, yeah, you're sick because you have some sin in your life or you're incessant and so on. Not necessarily. Remember, in one of the gospel, someone was sick. So one of the men asked, is it because of their father's sin? He said, no, this case is because God wants to use this case to glorify the name of God. Okay, so we don't judge. Don't be quick. I'm this sick and I get condemned by you. It's not going to help. A lot of time we are not helping. Okay, so I give you some tips. Because when we minister healing, it's not just about anointing. We need to have a heart of compassion and love. Amen? Okay, four causes of sickness. One is natural causes, you know, for example, the world is so polluted, You know, I was reading a report. They say 70% of people are breathing unhealthy air. You know, yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, so natural causes, you know, and why we fall sick, the kind of food that we are eating, we primarily eat processed food, okay? So natural causes and so on. Second is human responsibility. Sometimes we need to take responsibilities, okay? If you eat fries and fries and fries, everything fried, fried stuff, a grill and chili and whatever, you know, then don't drink water, don't drink some liang tei and whatever, I'm sure you fall sick. So don't blame Satan. It's not Satan's fault. It could be S.A. Tan. It's you. Tan, don't know, whatever. Okay, so second is human responsibilities. Sometimes our own fault. Yeah, sometimes. This is why I tell the young people, please go and exercise. Please eat right. You know, there'll be grace. Grace doesn't mean that you abuse your body, you know. Yeah, so the second one, human responsibilities. Third one, sin. Sin. But don't be quick to pass that judgment. It's not helping. A lot of time, you know, especially in the, I can say that because I come from Pentecostal, charismatic, so we are very quick. Because, I know, you pray for people never get healed, or actually you have no faith or not enough grace. Then you blame other people. Yeah, you sin. You have sinned your life, you know. Meanwhile, thank God I have an excuse. No, don't be quick. It's one of the possibility, one of the causes, sin. Sin, okay. John chapter 5, verse 14. Don't have to turn to it. We have no time. John chapter 5, verse 14. Okay. Unless it's very clear that God show you very clearly, you never pass the judgment. Even, okay, you need to exercise grace and wisdom and love. Even when God makes it very clear to you that the person you pray for has certain sickness because of sin, you ask the person says no. Don't push, just leave it. It's between him and God. Understand what I'm talking about? So, no, you have sinned. I see very clearly. It's flashing before your eye. No, I'm not saying it's you. Okay, I just happened to look at direction. No, I use Joshua. Yeah, I see it very clearly. Yeah, it's in bold. That word sin right appear before. Yeah. No, just leave it. Yeah, there are many occasions where you're so obvious to me. I say, okay, I'm sorry. I received the wrong word. Yeah, I say, well, you're right one. No, it's fine. It's between the person and God. It's my responsibility to pray for the person. It's not my responsibility to push that he agree with what God is saying. Understand what I'm talking about? There's grace. There's wisdom. There's love. Yeah, I'm only a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's in healing or prophecy. I'm not here to push that word. You know, even prophecy, when I give the word, you say, no, I don't receive the word. It's fine. To me, it's okay. It's between you and God. My responsibilities, my role is only a spokesman. Or the hand of God. It's up to the other person to receive in humility. If the person does not receive, it's fine. Okay, no pressure. There's no pressure. You see, that's why it's very important when you move in prophetic ministry or healing ministry, don't get into this performance thing. How accurate is my word? Or, wow, today must have all the healing. Don't get into that. Never get into that. Okay, the moment you get into that performance threat, you are in trouble. Okay, the third one is demonic. Sometimes it can be demonic. Some sickness because of demonic reason. Okay, Luke 13 verse 11. So four causes. Okay, it can be all four. I mean, it can be either or. Sometimes it can be all together. You know, all together. Then, just same grace. Natural cause, human responsibility, sin. Demonic causes. Got it? Okay, last one. Then we're going to activate and pray for the sick. Last one. I'm going to give you keys to healing, okay? Primarily, it's not about anointing. I say many times. Much of the time, when I pray for the sick, I don't feel anything. Okay, I feel. I wouldn't say that my healing rate is very high. Okay, I know. They are here and there, but I tell you, sometimes I'm more surprised. Thank God, you know. Like, I remember, there's one time I was praying for someone who have long short leg. You know, I just, yeah, I just hold both the feet. I say, in the name of Jesus, I don't even feel anointed. You know, in the name of Jesus, grow back. You know, I can't find a word. Grow back. Yeah. And split second, the length of two legs become the same. It's like suddenly the leg shoot up. I was shocked. I said, can you stand up and check for yourself? Yeah, and I said, yeah, a little bit uncomfortable on my right, because yeah, suddenly your feet grow by an inch. You got to feel a little bit of adjustment. No? So when I walk back, I say, God, I only 165. Can you grow both my feet another inch? Yeah. So it's like sometimes I pray for people. Yeah, God heal me too. Okay. So give you some keys. Okay. It's not about feeling anointed. I love it. A lot of time, I don't feel anything. You know, I know it's because of really in by faith. Okay, three major keys and four hindrance. Okay, three major keys. First one, faith and belief is very important. Faith and belief. When we pray for the sick, believe that God wants to heal. Faith is very important, okay? All over. Just write it down. Matthew 9, verse 1 to 29. Matthew 9, verse 1 to 29. Go and read, okay? Mark 16, verse 17 to 18. Or rather, verse 15 to 18. Jesus said, whoever who believes in my name. He didn't say, you know, whoever of you anointed, whoever has gone to Bill Johnson Better School. No, I'm not saying shouldn't go. I think it's good. Whoever who believes. Okay, so that's the first one. Faith. Faith is vital. Faith is vital. Okay. Second, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the sick is in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing unto you. It's in the name of Jesus. That's why no pressure. It's in the name of Jesus. You don't have to feel anointed or unanointed. In the name, I'll give you some simple steps. Okay. Again, the confidence is not in the steps. The steps is only to guide you. Okay, the steps primarily, you can see it all over the Bible. Whether it's Jesus or the early apostle, how they minister healing. Okay, our confidence is not in the steps. It's to help us to start. But we know that, what's the biblical basis for healing? The nature of God and the heart of God. He's willing and he wants to heal. Okay, so first one is faith. Second is in the name of Jesus. Is in the name of Jesus. You read gospel, you read the book of Acts. In the name of Peter, James, John, at the, I think it's Acts 3, they saw the lame. They say, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, walk. In the name of Jesus. Got it? It's in the name of Jesus. Okay. Third one, fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. Okay, that's why we had a 10-day fast. You know, take me to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Okay, I run through briefly a little bit. Okay, I pray that God will speak to everyone in the body of Christ. This passage of scripture really strike our heart. This is something that always caused me to contend, not just healing, but many things. But this specifically about healing. But of course, at the end of the day, it talks about the importance of fasting and prayer. Okay, the whole Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21 primarily is about the father who has a son who has epileptic. Okay, so he brought the son to the disciples. Of course, the disciples couldn't. Okay, and from there, let's read, okay? I tell you what Jesus is trying to say, but the main point is the power of fasting and prayer. That's why God is raising up the greatest prayer movement at the end of the age. Global worship and prayer movement, because it's at the feet of, it's at the place of prayer and fasting, God is going to release the greatest grace for healing. Where this promise is going to be fulfilled. No disease known to man shall stand before the people of God. When the church contend and on our knees with fasting and prayer, God is going to move His hand so that when we stretch forth our hand, His hand is going to move. Amen? Let's read verse 16, Matthew 17. So I brought Him to your disciples, but they could not cure Him. Wow. The first time God, I'm familiar with this passage. First time God really spoke to me, it's like, my heart grieved. You know why? I say, it's talking about me. Often people bring the sick, they have needs, so on and so on. I have no answer. I have no power to cure. I have no power to heal. I have no power, so on and so on. So I brought Him to your disciples. They could not cure Him. Wow. I took it very personal, this one. I have no answer. It's the same, isn't it? Much in the body of Christ, we really have no answer. That's why we need to contend. God has answer. That's the key thing. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring Him here to me." Again, it really, this word really pierced my heart again, because my generation is a generation that Jesus is returning. The Bible promised great faith, great power, great authority. I cannot accept that my generation or the young people's generation, Joshua's generation, Vanessa's generation, and so on, is the faithless and perverse generations. No, how can this be? No, let's jump to verse 20. What's the problem? Jesus said to them, because your unbelief. Because your unbelief. That's why unbelief is one of the major hindrances. Sometimes unbelief is subtle. You know, sometimes unbelief, you know what? We accept it's like that one. The church healing, no healing one, is like that one. There's unbelief in the subtlety. It's like that one. What do you expect? Down the road, the church is no healing one. So why complain? It's like that one. One of the key about unbelief, one of the problems about unbelief is we accept. I'm not compared with the church down the road. I'm compared with the church in the book of Acts. I'm compared with what Revelation talked about us. I'm not comparing with the church down the road, whether they have anointing or not. I'm comparing myself with the book of Acts. Jesus said, because of unbelief, and he continued, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Wow. That's what I want to tell everyone in this house. We have finished our 10-day fast. Now it's time to do healing. Say, let's keep praying. Then you're going through, and I'm going through motion about prayer and fasting. After prayer and fasting, it's time for us to play. You say, but no, I don't feel anointed. No, you start praying. Healing will break out. It's like that one. If healing breaks out, then you start praying. There's no need for you and me already. God needs you and me to stretch off our hand. Amen? Let's go to verse 21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. The higher the need for that grace, the higher that we need to press in. If the promise is true, no disease known to man shall stand before the people of God. You think it's going to just come like that? We have to contend. I suspect we're going to have many Esther fast. 10 days, 20 days. I kind of like, enjoying it. we always say we enjoy it after we come out. Maybe I'm going to say, man, no. That's called Hokkien, called Yaya Papaya. You know, that's Malay. That's called Yaya Papaya. Every time I'm going Esther fast or whatever fast. Okay. So, three keys to healing: faith in God. That's why Jesus said, you have faith of a mustard seed. You know how small is mustard seed? The issue is not how big is your faith. The issue is where you place your faith. I place my faith upon the God who is willing to heal and is able to heal. His name is Jehovah Rapha, and in the name of Jesus, I speak healing. Okay. Second is in the name of Jesus. Third one is fasting and prayer. Okay, four hindrances. Then I'm going to give you some keys. Then I'm going to pray for the sick. Hindrance. Four hindrances. Okay, just quickly. First one is unbelief. Unbelief. Okay. Unbelief. Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21. Second is sin. Sin. Sin can be both ways, in the life of the person who is sick or in the life of the person who is praying for the sick. Okay. Yeah, but never be quick to conclude. Okay. Okay, this is very important. Third one is the timing of God. Timing of God. Sometimes we don't timing of God. Okay. Timing of God. The last one, which to me is one of the most important one. Okay. If first three, we don't, if it's not the first three, the last one always works. You know what's the last one? We don't know why. It's true. A lot of time, don't try, you see, problems create when we try to find an answer. Sometimes we don't know the answer. You see, I will tell you, I've been in healing ministry long enough. And I see enough healing ministry to, by and large, healing ministry around the world, the most successful rate is only 30%. It's only 30%. Yeah, I say, wow, Raya Bonke, his crusade has 100 over people get healed or 200 over people healed. Come, you know how many people show up? No. His crusade. His crusade is 10,000 to 20,000. Easy 10,000 to 20,000. 200 people only. Not even 10%. No, I'm not belittling here. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you that the statistic right now is like that. Okay. Even Bill Johnson. Okay, I have friends who have cancer, go to Bill Johnson's church for healing. In the end, she still died of cancer. Even Bill Johnson himself, 4 years or 5 years ago, he had cancer. Yeah, he got healed through chemotherapy. Yeah, so we don't understand why. But at the moment right now, there's no 100% healing. But we keep praying for healing until God increase the healing grace. But my point is this about that. A lot of time, don't try to find an answer when there's no healing. Because you know why? I've been this long enough. People who come, they are prayed by you, and you pray in love, even they walk away not receiving healing, they are still very much ministered to. Get what I'm saying or not? Yeah, the key is we minister with love. At the end of the day, we don't play God. That's the key thing, you know. So that's why I say, don't take the burden upon yourself. Because if I start with zero, risk zero is still zero. So I haven't deproved, okay? That's a key thing. Okay, so four hindrances: unbelief, sin, timing of God, and the last one is we don't know. A lot of times we try to push it, no? Yeah, no, don't try to push it, no. I'm healed. Get what I'm saying? We can be honest. And come back again, we'll pray. Come again, we pray. Again, healing can be instant. That means when I pray for you now, you get healed. I remember I prayed for one of my friend's mother who have a lump on her throat. She cough and cough and cough. She cough out a meatball. Meatball. But turned out to be that tumor. Yeah. Instant. Sometimes it's progressive. That means you pray for someone who is sick, didn't get healed immediately, few days later or whatever, get healed. Yeah, so we claim healing, but we can be honest that no, it's not full today. No, just keep claiming. Just keep claiming by faith. Amen? So these are the keys. Okay, I'm going to give you some simple steps. Okay, then we're going to pray, minister. Okay, Joshua, can you come? Use you as a demonstrator. Then the rest will pray. Okay, four simple steps. I call it ask. Ask, something I can't remember. Okay, first one is ask, second is lay hands, third one is open eyes, the fourth one is you minister healing, okay? Make it very clear. We are not here to pray for healing. So a lot of time when we do ministry of healing, say, God, I pray that you release healing on this person, and you're talking to God, okay? That's good, but that's not ministry of healing. When we are praying for the sick, we are ministering healing. You are the vessel of God. Okay, there are a few things that are very important. Ask, lay hands, open our eyes. open our eyes is very important, because sometimes God is doing something, you close your eyes and fall, and you then get healed, and the person left, and then you're still, I'm just exaggerating, okay. And the last, fourth one is, you declare healing. You speak healing. You minister healing. Got it? It's different from your praying healing. Like last 10 days, we've been praying for healing to break out. So we are here now, we are not praying for healing. Now we are ministering healing. We are speaking healing upon the person. We are declaring healing in the name of Jesus. Got it? It's very straightforward. Okay. There's no need to feel anointed and whatever. No. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Okay, that's not important. Okay. The focus is not you. The focus is God and on the person. Got it? First one is us. Okay. It's very simple. If a person comes first, just ask, like Joshua, do you have anything that you want me to pray for you? Any healing? Have, really? Or don't have? Okay. Let's say he have. Okay, let's say he has. Okay, then he tell me. Let's say, for example, his back. Okay, his back. Okay, now you know. Okay, don't need to waste time asking for prophetic words. Sometimes say, don't tell me. Okay, let me ask God. Yeah. Now it's not about prophecy. Now it's praying for the sick. Okay, so ask the person. Okay, that's what Joshua said, back. Okay, the next thing is this. Okay, because the next step is to lay hands, right? But consistently in the Bible, laying of hands is very important. Okay, but, okay, at least for us in this house, okay, we have to be very sensitive. Preferably, we always want guy to pray for guy and girl to pray for girl. Got it? Yeah, of course, there are no ideal situation, because in the Church of Jesus Christ, there are always more girls than guys, okay? So there are always not enough guys, okay? So if it's not ideal situation where you need guy to pray for girl or girl to pray for guy, then there's this issue of sensitivity. Even guy pray for guy, we always have to be sensitive. We have to ask, can I lay hands on your back? Yeah, if the person feel uncomfortable, don't want, it's okay. Then say, just lay hands on the shoulder, anywhere that's comfortable. But the best is if you can lay hand on that area that need healing. But please understand too, there are some areas who, especially for women, is a bit more privacy, like let's say the breast and so on. Then don't go in. Even girl to girl, please don't. Or ask permission. Or the least you can do is, can you put your hand on your chest? Let's say, for example, you're a girl. Okay, I'm a girl too. Then just lay hands on the area. Got it? The sensitivity part is very important. Okay? Yeah, even in some culture, they don't like people to lay hands on the head. Yeah, like Thailand, they don't like. Okay, so there are some things that we need to understand. In Singapore too, we don't assume everybody is comfortable. Okay, now some people everywhere must sanitizer and so on. Your hands are sanitized. So we want to be sensitive. Okay, so the first one is you ask. Second is lay hand. Got it? Third one, pray with your eye open. Yeah, pray with your eye open. Okay, got it? Now you're not talking to God, you're ministering to whoever they are praying for in the name of Jesus. Got it? And the fourth one, you administer healing, okay? This is ministry of healing. You're not praying for healing. So what you need to is you speak healing. You declare healing. You minister healing. Sometimes it can be just one moment, because sometimes God can heal in one moment. Sometimes you just keep releasing healing, you know. My prayer is that eventually this house will have healing room. Healing room is like John G. Lake. You know, if you know John G. Lake, passed away. He has one of the great healing ministry in the days of old, where they do soaking prayer first, and then they pray. And sometimes takes a couple of hours to pray for one person. Okay, so there are huge need of manpower. So what I do is this. Okay, let's say back. Okay, hypothetical. This is not real. Okay, Joshua, can you just the person receiving healing, just close your eyes. Okay, just close your eyes. You want to lift out a hand, whatever posture that you're comfortable. It's okay too to sit down. Okay, there's no saying that you must fall. Okay, no, don't need to fall. Okay, so let's say raise up your hand. Okay, remember, I'm ministering healing. Okay, I'm not praying for healing. Okay, that's a huge difference. I'm ministering healing. So what I do is that I'll look, I pray. I don't have to be in a hurry. First, it's always about God, you know. Most of the time, what I do is that I'm trying to connect with God, you know. Sometimes God may put something in my heart to pray specific things. If not, then I say, God, release your presence upon Joshua. In the name of Jesus, I release healing upon your back. I speak healing upon your back. In the name of Jesus. Now just take some time to pray. As you receive, take some time to pray. Then after a while, I can ask the questions. Do you feel anything? Do you feel better? And then continue to pray. Yeah, that's called minister healing. Sometimes it's instant. There are moments that instant. Like for example, pray. Remember I told you long time ago, I prayed for a guy with a long short leg. Immediately, the leg shoot up, you know, in a split second. Okay, I was shocked too. If not, you just pray. And then keep, after a while, we ask. After a while, we ask, do you feel better? Say, no. Sometimes you can tell, I feel some fire at the area that you are praying for. Okay, then you know that God is doing something. Then you can affirm, you know, God intensified your work. Bring forth the fullness of your healing. Let's say, I speak healing to your back. I speak healing to, because sometimes you can see God working. Yeah. So opening your eyes is very important. So four steps. First one, ask. Got it? Second, lay hands. But before I lay hands, ask permission. Lay hands. Third one, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Fourth one, you begin to minister healing. Got it? Got it? It's all in the name of Jesus, by faith, okay? And we have prayed and fasted for 10 days. It's time for us to do the work, okay? Now ask, okay? Just go through the steps first, okay? Remember, then I'm going to just pray overall. Then you begin to minister healing. Just take as much time as you can, okay? Ask the person, what can I pray for you? And where is that if it's like a pain or alignment that, like an ailment that you know. Yeah, then what's the next one? Ask permission whether we can lay hands. Remember, the third one is pray with your eye open. Got it? Last one is minister healing. You're ministering healing. You're not here to pray that God will release healing for the sick. You're here as a vessel to release healing. Got it? Ken? Okay, let me say a prayer, then you can start. Okay, just lift up, everyone lift up your hands. Let me just say a prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are always at work. We thank you that the word of God in John 14 promised that if we believe, we will do greater works, even greater than Jesus, if we ask and believe in the name of Jesus. And I pray in the name of Jesus, release healing grace upon everyone in this room. And upon those who need a touch from you. Oh God, show forth your goodness, your mercy, your compassion, and your grace. Release the healing grace. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is only the beginning, okay? From now onwards, you know how to minister healing. So whenever the opportunity arises, you know, minister the healing and trust God that He's going to extend that grace, okay? It's by faith in the name of Jesus. It's always in the name of Jesus. There's nothing complicated about it. Sometimes we complicate everything. It's very simple, in the name of Jesus. Primarily healing is based on the truth of God and the heart and the nature of God, okay? So we all start from here, okay? Then we begin to pray, then we begin to see God begin to move, okay? So never be discouraged. I like what John Wimber said. Faith is spelled in R-I-S-K. You always take that risk, you know? If you're not willing to take that step, you never see signs and wonders break off. You always need to be prepared to be embarrassed, you know, initially, you know. I have many embarrassing moments, okay? Amen? Let me say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your desire to heal. We are contending even for greater healing grace. May you accompany even our works with signs and wonders. This is our inheritance. We are contending not just for ourselves in this house. We are praying even for that prophetic promise to be fulfilled even in the church, when no disease known to man shall stand before the very people of God, when the world has no answer. May we have the answer, Lord, so that many will see Jesus and call upon his name. I bless you, O God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.